a psychologist, an author, and a veteran broadcaster. But most importantly, he's a dad. Welcome to Dr. Bill Meyer Live on the Faith Radio Network. Stay tuned for a faith and culture connection, a biblical perspective on current events, and practical family advice with psychologist Dr. Bill Meyer. You can join the conversation by calling 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Now, let's join Bill Meyer live.
Would you like to have a more vital spiritual life? Would you like to be more like Jesus in your daily walk? Well, we're going to be talking about how we make spiritual progress this hour as we talk to Pastor Alan Ratto, who has written a great new book on this topic, Making Spiritual Progress, Building Your Life with Faith, Hope, and Love. And I hope to learn from it because there are times where I feel like my spiritual life is a little bit on the dry side, and I try to get motivated to be more regular with my devotions and my prayer life, and for some reason, I just can't seem to get it going. You know, you make these resolutions every year, or you say, I'm going to read through the Bible, and somehow, somewhere, life gets in the way, and it doesn't happen. So we're going to be finding out what is lacking in our motivation, and how do we get on track in making spiritual progress in just a little bit. Well, it's Valentine's week, and I have a question for you if you are married with children at home, especially young children. How do you keep the flames of romance burning when your house smells like dirty diapers? You know, if you can't recall the last time that you and your spouse went on a date, I have one important word for you: babysitter. Maybe that's two words. Whatever it is, make sure to find some good babysitters and then use them on a frequent basis. You know, a regular date night is crucial to keeping couples in touch. And also, make sure to occasionally plan a weekend away. And, you know, I'm not talking a weekend to Disney World. Leave the kids with a trusted friend or relative and plan a little romantic trip for just the two of you. You'd got to focus on the husband-wife relationship. Best possible thing you can do for your kids. We live in a society that is so child-focused and tells us what's most important is that our kids have every advantage and be involved in every possible enrichment activity and sport and social activity and church activity and on and on and on. But we neglect our marriages. And unfortunately, what happens then is marriages fall apart and kids suffer. So, best thing you can do for your kids, not enroll them in another sport or activity or hobby. The best thing you can do is focus on your marriage relationship. And what a great week to pray about that and perhaps make some changes. And one of the first changes you make is in your calendar. You actually, yes, put a date night on the calendar. I would suggest certainly at least once a month, if not every 2 weeks. I know some couples that do it once a week. That's hard for us. We have three young children at home. Maybe you can, but put that date night on the calendar and block it off and don't let anything interfere with it. And if you do, I guarantee you, you will find that your marriage will start to improve. You will start to feel closer to each other, and your kids will benefit as a result. And a few words for you guys this week as we approach Valentine's Day. If you are looking for a way to warm your wife's heart, here is a suggestion. Roll up your sleeves and clean the bathroom. Yes, you heard right. Marriages that thrive are those where both husband and wife develop a servant attitude, both looking for ways to meet each other's needs. And guys, while you may do something special for Valentine's Day this week, it doesn't take dinners out or expensive gifts to thrill your wife. Just noticing what she needs and being willing to help is going to go a long way toward making her life easier. And don't wait to ask her before giving her a hand around the house. Take time to make the bed, take out the trash, wash a load of clothes. I'm trying, guys. I really am. I don't always succeed, and my wife doesn't like the way I sort the clothes because she likes certain colors in certain piles, and I sometimes, get the browns with the greens. She doesn't like that. But this is something that you can do that will be a huge gift to your wife. And if you see that she is having a stressful day, hey, this Saturday, okay, how about a week from today? Okay, because you've got plans for today already. But a week from today, the day after Valentine's Day, if your wife has had a stressful week and you've got young kids at home, how about taking the kids out next Saturday to like a Saturday matinee? Give her the afternoon off to just relax, just read, take a hot bath, whatever, hang out with friends, whatever she wants to do. You take charge of the kiddos. Yes, I know it's a bit scary, guys, especially if you have several. When I try to take charge of all three, sometimes it's a nightmare. But I do my best. It is really the little things that keep a strong marriage growing even stronger. And here's a book to help you out with that. It's a little book that I recommend to couples who are trying to improve their relationship, grow closer. It's called The Love List by Les and Leslie Parrott. The Love List by Les and Leslie Parrott, a couple of husband-wife psychologists from Seattle. Well, it is 11:10 now, 10 minutes past the hour, and coming up, we're going to be talking about making spiritual progress in your life. How do you do it? How do you get motivated? So many of us try and we fail. We have great intentions, but we don't pull it off. And what can the church do to get congregations on the right track when it comes to growing spiritually? We'll talk to an expert in that field coming up next here on the Faith Radio Network.
You know, a difficult childhood leaves some people disadvantaged and struggling for the rest of their lives. But for others, these early hardships actually fuel great achievement and success. In a study that's now become a classic called Cradles of Eminence, Victor and Mildred Gertzel investigated the home backgrounds of 400 highly successful people. And their purpose was to try to identify the early experiences that may have contributed to later greatness. All of the subjects are now well known for their accomplishments. Einstein, Freud, Winston Churchill, many others. The backgrounds of these people proved very interesting. Three-fourths of them came from troubled childhoods, enduring poverty and broken homes or parental abuse. And one-fourth had physical disabilities. The researchers concluded that the need to compensate for disadvantages was a major factor in the struggle for personal achievement. Now, the application to your own family should be very obvious. If your child has gone through a traumatic experience or is saddled with physical handicaps, don't give up hope. Help him or her identify strengths and natural abilities with which to compensate for the presence of hardships. Who knows? That problem that seems so formidable today may become the inspiration for greatness tomorrow.
Need Dr. Dobson? Reach him at myfamilytalk.com.
It's Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer live.
And you can join the conversation wherever you might be listening to the Faith Radio Network today. Perhaps you're listening on Faith 90.5 in Duluth or Faith 1200 in the Fargo-Moorhead area. Maybe Faith 1270 in Sioux Falls, Faith 1090 in Waterloo, Iowa, or Faith 1190 in Madison, Wisconsin. Or right here in the Twin Cities on our flagship station, Faith 900, Minneapolis-St. Paul. We would love to have you give us a call, 877-93-FAITH. If you call us in the next 45 minutes or so, we'll put you into a drawing for a copy of one of these great books, Making Spiritual Progress. We have three copies to give away at the end of the hour, but we have to have your info, so call us up and give us your name, address, phone number, email, and perhaps you will win a copy of the book. Well, my guest this hour is Alan Ratta. He is a gifted speaker and writer in the areas of church growth, organizational health, leadership, character development, and the Word of God. He served as a successful lead pastor for over 20 years, started a little tiny church of 17 people that grew to 1,800. He served in leadership in the Assemblies of God denomination and served as the national director of their Project Hope. His books include The Pastor's Journal, The Spiritual Journal Handbook, and The Pastor's Time Management System. And today he joins us to talk about his brand new book, Making Spiritual Progress, Building Your Life with Faith, Hope, and Love. And Alan, welcome to Faith Radio.
Bill, it's great to be with you today.
We appreciate you taking time out on your Saturday to talk with us. And before we get into the book, I'd love to ask you about your work with pastors. As you survey the landscape of the evangelical church today, let me ask you, what are some of your biggest concerns for pastors and for local churches?
Well, I think that, you know, and I've spoken in workshops and seminars. In fact, we had tens of thousands of pastors pay to come hear me speak in the area of organizational church health over a period of 4 years. And I've looked a lot of pastors in the eyes. And when you ask the question, what are you doing to grow people? You often get a blank stare, or, you know, the focus tends to be on growing wider and not growing deeper. Or if you press in and ask further, how does God grow people? You particularly get a blank stare because they might give you a list of courses that they give, but really, how does spiritual growth happen? And so I see this as an area in the church that the greatest need I believe the church has today is to really help people, to disciple people in a way, help people to understand the principles in God's word of how God grows people, not how your spouse wants to grow you, not how programs and courses, how churches might want to grow you, but what is the activity of the Spirit? And I think this is an area that, and frankly, I think that's one of the reasons why God led me to write this book, Making Spiritual Progress, because it's a critical area of need.
Why do you think, Alan, so many Christians fail to live a vital Christian life, a life that's characterized by joy and a bold witness for Christ? Is it because they don't know how to do it? Is it because the world is crowding God out of their lives, a combination of those things? What, I mean, obviously, and we've both seen a lot of the surveys on how in many cases, unfortunately, evangelical Christians don't look much different from people in the world on a lot of different categories. So what's missing?
Well, I think one of the things that we bought into, and if you're raised in a particular church tradition, you will really resonate and understand this, that the church has a tendency to look at things from a behavioral perspective. You know, what are you doing? And that really indicates someone's spirituality. Are they reading their Bible? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? Or what are they not doing? But really, the issue has to do, we have to press much deeper than the level of our behaviors. You know, Jesus gave us an incredible law. In fact, it's true in nature and it's true in the spiritual realm of our character because he applied it to us when he said, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And yet I see a lot of Christians, sincere, well-meaning, dedicated, and are working so hard on their behaviors. They're working to change the fruit, the outcome, the outer man. And it's really an underpowered enterprise. It's not how God grows us, but it's how we attempt to grow ourselves. And there's nothing more exhausting than chasing symptoms, because that's really what our behaviors are. They're just outer symptoms of our inner spiritual motivations, because as we're motivated, so we're going to act.
Let's talk about motivation for a moment, because that's one of the first topics that you address in the book. Many Christians are well-intentioned to, you know, as you said, maybe develop a more vital prayer life, devotional life. They can't seem to do it. So you've got your five rules for personal motivation in the first chapter, and let's go through those. What are those five rules, Alan?
Well, you know, it's a progression. First of all, we need to understand that our behaviors don't come out of anywhere. It's sort of like, you know, they don't just suddenly appear one day and, wow, where did that come from? Because our behaviors really come from our character. And our character is like our DNA. It's like the DNA of our tree. As is our character, you know, we just simply act that out. In fact, it's really impossible. If you're an apple tree, it's really, you're going to consistently produce apples. If you're, you know, a thorn bush, you're going to consistently produce thorns. Now, so our character is, we need to go one level deeper than behavior and talk about our character. Well, what is our character? our character really is made up of our motivations. What motivates us? And in fact, one of the things that is important to understand is that we are always highly motivated. And some people take issue with that, and they say, well, how can that be true? Well, you know, I look at my own life, and it feels like I'm not motivated. Well, the problem is we're always highly motivated. We'll never be more motivated, but we need to be differently motivated. The problem is when we try to grow is that we are more motivated to stay where we are than to change our behavior. So we need to understand that motivations are behind what really make up our character. And then behind that, as we just go deeper, I call this a motivational supply chain. It's sort of like you walk into the store and you see a can of beans and you go, you know, where did that come from? Well, it didn't just suddenly appear. It's been on the way a long time. And the same is true with our behaviors. They don't just appear one day. Our behaviors have been on the way, frankly, a very long time in our lives. And so we need to understand that behind the symptoms, which is really our behaviors, the way we act out, the way we are acting, good and bad, is our character. Behind that is our motivations. And behind that really is our master. You know, Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. Our heart is the seat of the battle where dominion is being fought on a daily basis in terms of who will really be the Lord of our life. And so, you know, our heart is that battleground. And this all boils back, if you want to go to the deepest root, is that the Holy Spirit is the one that determines the condition of our heart if we cooperate with Him, which is where our master is established, which then shapes our motivations. Our motivations then fulfill the worship and desires of our master. And then that shapes our character, and then our character produces our behaviors. Now, when you look really at this behavioral supply chain, if it's a can of beans in a grocery store, it goes pretty deep as well. You know, somebody one day decided to plant beans and bought a field and fertilized it and harvested it, took it off to a cannery, it went to a distribution center, then it was sold into wholesale, and then it was delivered to your market one day. We need to understand when we try to work on our behaviors, we are really working far away from the front lines of what Jesus taught us, because He said it's a colossal waste of time. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And yet, why are we fruit inspectors trying to change fruit in other people's lives? Or why are we so caught up trying to change our fruit when Jesus said it can't be done? But there is a biblical answer to this dilemma.
And I'm guessing the biblical answer is letting the Holy Spirit do His work. Or at least that's one of the answers. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, if the tree metaphor ended in Matthew 7, you know, bad tree cannot bear good fruit, you know, the prospects for personal growth would be pretty bleak, but it doesn't end there. You know, Jesus said, revisited the tree metaphor a few chapters later when He said a radical statement. I think they're the most hope-filled words in the Bible. He said this: make the tree good or make the tree bad. The fact that we can't change our fruit, but we can change our tree, is a radical proposition. Jesus didn't come, you know, He didn't say make the tree better. He said make the tree good. He didn't come to improve our lives. He came to give us a new life. And so tree changing, really understanding that we have to, you know, holiness, spiritual maturity goes far deeper than a paint job. Jesus accused the Pharisees of being whitewashed tombs. You know, we have to get down to the level of our motivations and where the Spirit is working, because this is the advertised activity of the Spirit in the Bible.
I see that over and over again. You, in fact, you quote Ephesians 3:16-17, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So many of Paul's admonitions have to do with letting the Holy Spirit do His work.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. In fact, you know, the more you study faith, hope, and love, it's unfortunate Larry Osborne, who wrote the foreword to my book, made a great statement. He said they've become Christian white noise, white noise to the Christians, sort of like a Christianese. The most we hear, I think it's tragic, but today in a modern, Protestant church, evangelical church, the most common times that we hear Faith, Hope, and Love are when we're sitting at a wedding, like they're great pros. But when Paul gave this great list of virtues in 1 Corinthians 13, and then he says, but now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. It's a powerful, he was driving powerful theological stakes in the ground. And in fact, the deeper you dig into faith, hope, and love and their benefits, one of the things I get into in my book is the unique, dramatic benefits and critical nature of faith, hope, and love in our lives. Is the deeper you dig into the Bible, the more you see layer upon layer how the Bible talks about this holy trio, if you will, and how critical they are in our spiritual lives. And they really are the advertised activity of the Spirit. Now, we can try to grow our way. We can, the problem is we can change our behaviors for a short period of time, but unless our motivations change, behaviors revert back to right where they were over time, because we're always going to act out ultimately in the end on the level of our motivations. So I would rather find out God's way and then cooperate with the Spirit, because, if you go onto Google, Bill, there's 86 million hits on self-improvement.
Wow.
You've got 86 million choices. I mean, there's no lack of choices of how you may want to try to personally advance your life. It's interesting. All 86 million run contrary to the way that Jesus said he grows people. So we have kind of 86 million choices, or and try to do it our way, or cooperate with the way that the Spirit, the Bible says the Spirit grows his people.
Now, let's go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, actually, you did, although I could certainly continue. But, to talk about, what does the Spirit do? There are critical seven unique benefits that I go into in my book. There are actually many more than that, but I unfold seven of them. But one of them is, it's the activity of the Spirit. And to me, that kind of is bedrock as a believer. I want to know, what does the Bible advertise and is the activity of God? It's interesting that I've told many people in some ways, although it certainly is more modernized and I'm unpacking a lot of truths, but the fundamental premise of my book is not new at all. In fact, the early church fathers advocated. In fact, they called faith, hope, and love the cardinal virtues. Now, the word cardinal comes from the Latin cardio, which means to hinge. In other words, the spiritual life, and they taught this, Augustine and Aquinas in the 12th century, the early church fathers, that the spiritual life hinges on faith, hope, and love. And they're called the perfection of the spiritual life, and quoted over and over again. Why did the early church fathers universally embrace these truths? Because the biblical tales of these truths run so deep in Scripture. And so as I unpack these, it becomes obvious. So just looking at the perspective of the activity of the Spirit, the Spirit increases our faith, the Bible says. The Bible talks about abounding in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about the love of God being poured out on our hearts. How? By the Spirit. So it's by the Spirit, through the Spirit, by the Spirit. This is his activity. These are the areas where, Paul boasts that your love grows ever larger and your faith increases. And, these are the growth zones. These are the expansion areas in the Christian life. And yet we so often hear about, take this course and take that small group and you'll grow. And we don't really hear a lot of people talking about.
Hey, Alan, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a hard break coming up at the half hour. But let me, we'll continue our conversation with Alan Ratta in just a moment on making spiritual progress here on the Faith Radio Network. Stick with us and get your pen and paper for some great, great concepts.
Faith Radio's mission is to lead people to Christ and nurture you in your spiritual growth through Christ-centered media. We recently connected online with David from Bangladesh.
I'm so glad to have been introduced to MyFaithRadio.com. I like to listen to Faith Radio, which I get through this address online. It's my wish that God will expand His ministry everywhere in the world.
MyFaithRadio.com crosses borders and even oceans. Log on today at MyFaithRadio.com and join the conversation helping to spread the message of Faith Radio.
Here's what's ahead on the next Connecting Faith.
Strategic business ventures in restricted countries are not only returning profit for investors, but they're advancing God's kingdom through Bible studies and church planting. It's called BAM, the acronym for Business as Mission, and it's happening in a significant way in China. Business and mission leader Dwight Nordstrom joins us again on Connecting Faith to give us an update about their business ventures and the growing church in China. Opportunities for outreach through Business as Mission on Connecting Faith.
Listen for Connecting Faith weekdays at noon on Faith Radio.
WTickets.com, University of Northwestern, St. Paul.
The conversation continues right now, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Now, here's Dr. Bill Meyer again on Faith Radio.
And jot that number down if you would like to talk to our guest, if you have any questions for him. We're talking to Alan Ratta. He is the author of Making Spiritual Progress, Building Your Life with Faith, Hope, and Love. And I'm sure he'd be more than happy to chat with you. Again, 877-93-FAITH is our number. All right, Alan, I didn't mean to cut you off there. We had a hard break at the end of the hour, and you were just unpacking the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how really it's faith, hope, and love that spur us on to motivation and to growing spiritually. So let's get into each of those a little bit and maybe recap. So what is, starting off with faith, what does it do in our lives?
Well, you know, let me just kind of back up and make a broader statement, Bill, that faith, hope, and love are motivational forces. They are not your ordinary garden variety virtue. You know, you can say, man, you know, I've got to be a kinder person. I've got to be a more patient person. And you can get impatient about being more patient. You know, but really we're working on symptoms. In 1 Corinthians 13, we learn that love is patient. Love is kind. They're symptoms of the underlying motivational force. In fact, faith, hope, and love are really the great passions that God made our spirit to be filled with. And that's why the Bible says they are the absolute must-haves. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him in Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says if only for this life we have hope, we are of all men most to be pitied, 1 Corinthians 15:19. The Bible says, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Now, who would want this spiritual legacy written on their tombstone? Impossible, pitied, and nothing. These are the must-haves of the spiritual life. Without faith, without hope, and without love, it's impossible, pitied, and nothing. Really, we can't be spiritually alive without these. This is where the activity of the Spirit is. These are the must-haves. They're the essentials of the Christian life. And not only that, but they are the Bible teaches their top priorities. The scripture says about faith, continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast. Critical that we hold on to faith. Hope, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. These are top spiritual priorities in the Bible given to us in the Word. What about love? Well, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another in 1 Peter 4:8. So critical to understand that these are the essentials, the top spiritual priorities in the Bible for us, and yet we don't hear much about them from the pulpit. And I think that that is a real something that I'm praying my book will help impact. I see a change happening in the landscape of the church. Books like Move that Bill Hybels' organization put out, the 1,000 churches, they surveyed spiritual progress. Even Rick Warren at Exponential West, his comments about the fact that we need to really start making disciples and grow deeper. And that, frankly, is a passion of my heart. I had actually, just to give one more brief snippet of my background, I went from pastoring. I was so caught up with the need for good processes. I developed a software company called Connection Power, became a market leader. We were acquired by a NASDAQ company 2 years ago. And the reason I sold the software company is because God had convicted me that the church needed to grow deeper, and the spiritual truths were burning a hole in my soul, if you will. So I sold the company, wrote the book, and we have launched spiritualprogress.com with ministry tools to help people to grow spiritually, individually, and to help churches to grow their people. And that really is my passion. Now, one other critical point I should make about faith, hope, and love, it comes out of 1 Thessalonians 1:3. In the NIV, it says this, and this Paul really, he says, we continually remember. Well, what does he remember about his disciples? An interesting verse, a powerful verse. He says, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Now, that's a motivational word, produced. Your labor prompted by love. There's another motivational word. In fact, when you get into the Greek original language of these words, it's powerful. I unpack some of that in my book. And then your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's the Holy Trio again. Produced by faith, prompted by love, inspired by hope. Now, produced, prompted, and inspired. Who doesn't need more of that in their spiritual life? It's clear that faith, hope, and love are not just virtues. They are spiritual forces that create, they produce, they prompt, they inspire, they impact us. In fact, when someone's filled with the love of God, you know, they don't have to convince somebody that I'm a loving person. I call it goodness under pressure. You know, we leak love, right? And people around us can just tell, wow, there's just love flowing out of them, or faith flowing out of their life.
Now, let me ask you, one of the things that you obviously are very concerned about, and you mentioned it earlier, is you don't want to have us focus on behaviors or a list of behavioral do's and don'ts, because, of course, Jesus spoke very clearly against those things to the Pharisees. How, then, do we develop faith, hope, and love in our lives without saying, okay, here's the 10 things we do to develop those very critical aspects of our character?
Bill, that's a great question, because we can have a tendency to try to legislate anything into a series of rules, into a series of, you know, must-dos. I think the beginning of the dialogue begins to change dramatically for us. In fact, once people understand the activity of God and get their eyes off behaviors and onto motivations, that alone, just that understanding alone, is a game changer, because it liberates us. You know, it's exhausting chasing symptoms. I sat with a man a number of years ago in my office when I was pastoring, and he had a yellow pad with a list of things he had accumulated over the years, and he was a dedicated Christian, and his first words when he got to my office floored me. He said, Pastor, Christianity isn't working for me anymore. And I slid to the edge of my seat, and I said, what's going on, Tom? And he began to unpack, showed me this whole list, and he kept looking at this list, trying to live up to it. And he finally got to the place where he was so discouraged that he just realized that he felt Christianity wasn't working. And I told him, Tom, that kind of Christianity wouldn't work for me either, because that's not how God wants us to approach him. So I think just the understanding, Bill, is an important point. But the other thing is, I have a whole chapter in my book called How to Change Your Tree. And I have a whole chapter called Spiritual Exercise. And understanding that, you know, a lot of people go into sort of like, you know, I'm going to get up early and pray, and it's going to impress God, and it's going to put God in a position of, I call it God on a hook in my book, you know. And, you know, we need to understand that we do what Dallas Willard calls our simple little exercises. But unless God shows up, we humbly recognize that and look for and entertain opportunities by spiritual disciplines for the Spirit to move and arrive in our life. But we understand, unless the Spirit moves, there's no dance happening. Mm. And so we faithfully walk. And you know what? We don't put God in a position of obligation, but we do put ourselves in a much greater position of receiving the activity of the Spirit when we begin to understand the right role of spiritual exercise, what is called historically in the church spiritual disciplines, and some of the principles I unpack in that chapter on how to change your tree. So it's critical that we, again, don't try to systematize, but we recognize, you know, or put some kind of legalistic framework up, but that we clearly understand that this is all about God moving on me. And when the Spirit moves on us, we're like Moses. It transforms our character, our countenance, and it's goodness that comes from the inside and shines out to the world.
I'm guessing that many of our listeners are familiar with the spiritual disciplines, but some may not be. So if you were to boil it down, I know in that chapter, Changing Your Tree, you get into the different spiritual practices to grow in faith, hope, and love. So let's camp on those for a moment or two, because, again, for those individuals who may be new to the faith or maybe have never even heard of this whole concept of developing spiritual disciplines, they're saying, well, what does that mean? So what are those spiritual disciplines, and how do we develop them?
Sure. Well, you know, there are some classic historical ones. I don't think, again, that we can systematize things that work for us. And by the way, if you give a list of spiritual disciplines, there are some people that are just going to try to turn into gym rats and go out there and do everything. And that's a huge mistake. You're going to burn out like Tom did trying to change his behaviors. But we need to begin to discover the things that work for us. And there's 15 classic ones. Things like solitude, practicing solitude, getting away. And, boy, that can be tough. I mean, for a mom with busy kids running around her feet, you know, the only solitude she may find is in the restroom, you know. Silence. Fasting. Frugality is considered a spiritual discipline historically by the church.
Did you say frugality? Alan, did you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Oh, come now. You're saying that we shouldn't be spending our money on everything that we need for our kids and our home?
You know, it's a good – let me make a quick side road, if you don't mind, Bill, because I think this is such an important point you point out. Not only are there positive motivations that the Holy Spirit uses, but there are also three key passions that capture the human heart and diminish our humanity. In fact, they hold humanity hostage. They began in the garden. Jesus overcame them in his temptation. I call them the three great isms, hedonism, egotism, and materialism. But they have much older Bible names than those modern-sounding words that came out of the Enlightenment in the 1700s. The lust of the flesh, which really is an enemy of faith. Faith is all about walking not by sight, or lust of the eyes, rather. But lust of the eyes is about all that you can see and possess. It's a spirit of materialism. And then we have the lust of the flesh, which is hedonism. And people say, that guy may be saying to that teenage girl in the back of the Chevy that he loves her, but he doesn't love her. He lusts her. Love gives, lust takes. Mm. Hedonism is a perversion of the love of God. And then we have egotism, which is the pride of life. And that really is an enemy of hope, because our hopes are not based in us and in our accomplishments and how great we are. Our hopes are based in the greatness of God and the promises of God and the coming kingdom. And our hopes are all about future. When we understand really what faith, hope, and love are, and there's a lot of confusion even between faith and hope. I hear them used as synonyms in the church, but they're very different radical motivational forces. But we need to understand that we have this battle going on between these great passions the Spirit wants to fill us with and then these passions of the world that can capture and captivate our hearts and hold us hostage. And which way are we going to go? What is going to be our motivational sources? You know, which passions are going to grab a hold of us? And it's important to know this, that virtue, faith, hope, and love are greater than evil. In fact, Paul said it so clearly in Romans 12:12. He said, overcome evil with good. And he says that because love can crush lust. It's giving. Faith can crush materialism when we really trust God instead of all of the attractions of this world. And hope crushes egotism when we come to see and are enthralled with the greatness of our God. Who are we? And so we need to understand that we're in the midst of this incredible spiritual war in which the Spirit is trying to increase these motivational forces that can crush these other passions. But make no mistake, your heart will be filled with a passion. The question is, who's going to win the battleground, the Spirit or the lusts of this world, which are passing away?
You quote three verses in that particular chapter, which I want to just mention because I think they're so powerful. When it comes to the lust of the eyes or materialism, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Then the lust of the flesh or hedonism. Whose God, this is Paul talking in Philippians 3:19, whose God is their appetite and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. And then finally, from Philippians 2:3, the pride of life or egotism, Paul saying, do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or, this is the important part, prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Wow, those are some really convicting verses there, Alan.
You know, it's interesting. You got the word prompted over on the evil side, right? And
right.
It's really, you've got the dark side of the force and the light side of the force. You've got the word prompted by conceit, and over on the positive side, we have the same exact Greek word prompted by love. They are clearly motivational forces. Those are not just evils. They are the headwaters that spawn a huge stream of behaviors. The same is true with faith, hope, and love. They're like fountainheads, goodness under pressure. Someone filled with faith, their whole life is going to act differently. Someone filled with love, it's just a stream of behaviors are going to flow out of their life. And the same is true with hope. In fact, I'm convinced this is one of the great reasons why the church has lost influence in America and why we need to really regain our credibility with the world as believers.
Wow, great challenge. Our guest is Alan. Go ahead, Alan, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Do we need to take a break? Or
yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Let's take a quick break. We are going to give you the phone number one more time if you'd like a copy of Alan's book, Making Spiritual Progress. The number is 877-93-FAITH. Give us a call. Give us your contact info. We have three copies to give away here at the end of the hour. Once again, 877-93-FAITH. It's 1148 here on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer, back with the final segment with Alan Ratta on Making Spiritual Progress after this.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Thank you for your friendship and your partnership with this ministry. Each day we're able to provide family-focused teaching and relevant Bible preaching because of the generosity of friends just like you. Recently we had a call from one of our listeners who said, as I called in to renew my pledge this morning, I thanked God for what you were doing in our area, across the United States, and even around the world. You are truly doing amazing things for Christ, and we are happy to continue to support Change Lives. We do thank this dear friend for their generous support, and you, too, because together we are making a difference for Christ all across the Upper Midwest and around the world via the Internet. Thank you for your generous support this month. If you're not already a member of our monthly support team, would you consider joining? You can do that simply and safely online at MyFaithRadio.com. Thank you again for standing with Faith Radio. Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. You and I both know that living for Jesus is a lifelong journey, and we're committed to helping you connect faith to life with access when you need it. And to help you keep your faith strong throughout the day, we'd like to send you a Live by Faith wristband. It's free. Wear it each day as a reminder that you're on a journey of faith. If you would like your free wristband, visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible.
Now, back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
Welcome back. It's so great to have you with us today. Thanks for making us part of your weekend. By the way, if you'd like to get the entire broadcast schedule for Faith Radio, just go to myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. You can find Monday through Friday our schedule on the weekend as well. We have some great programs Monday through Friday. If you've never heard Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem, 12 noon, man, what a great way to grow in your faith. One of the things that Alan's been talking about, to become a real disciple of Jesus Christ, to learn more about Christian worldview and how to share your faith boldly. Neil's guests and Neil's own insights are just, I think, so valuable. That's Monday through Friday, noon to one, here on the Faith Radio Network. My guest is Alan Ratta. He is the author of Making Spiritual Progress, Building Your Life with Faith, Hope, and Love. We've just got about 7 minutes left, Alan. Let me ask you, if I could, to tell us a little bit about your website, makingspiritualprogress.com, and the online assessment and what folks can – I know it's both for individuals and for churches – what they can learn there and what the assessment will teach them.
Sure. Well, we developed – basically, we went to the scriptures and we said, look, what does faith, hope, and love look like? And we gathered all the symptoms, boiled them down to 7 key symptoms of being strong in faith, hope, and love for 21. And then we looked at all the symptoms in Scripture that love is not jealous, you know, doesn't seek its own. And we asked ourselves, what are the top symptoms of being low in love, low in faith, low in hope? And then we came up with 48 key symptoms distilled out of the Bible, of what the Bible describes these motivational forces, virtues to be like. And so then we crafted questions. Am I very much like this, somewhat like this, not much like this, not at all like this? And so that when a person answers our questions on that online assessment, mm-hmm. they're actually answering the symptoms of faith, hope, and love that come from hundreds and hundreds of scriptures distilled down to the top key symptoms of faith, hope, and love. Once you have those as symptoms, as evidences of faith, hope, and love, or being low in them, then you can do an assessment. And it's a self-assessment. You can also not only assess yourself and see for the first time a unique view of how you are, and we call it a large mirror array. Scriptures are a mirror, but we put a whole lot of them together. And at the focal point of this large mirror array is your character. And then we, in turn, help you can then invite others in 3 different relationship circles to assess you and see. Now, they don't see the results, but you do. See how they assess you. And discovering, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. It's really not even an option that we self-assess. But it's important to see how others see us. And in fact, this is the legacy we're leaving behind. And it doesn't change how they feel about us when we see how they assess us, but it helps us to understand truly how we're being viewed in those 3 key relationship circles of family and close friends, friends and small group members at church, and acquaintances at large, perhaps even workmates out there, how they perceive us. So that's one of the key things. Then we offer spiritual growth plans for a year, where every single day, it's really the content of 5 full-length books. Every single day, you get a 3-minute audio message, and it's also in print. You can read it while you're listening. Put your earbuds in. It goes out to mobile devices, computers, and you get content specifically directed to your growth areas based on your own spiritual assessment. So you're not just getting generalized content, but you're getting content that's skewed towards your specific needs. On the church side, we offer 30-day spiritual growth campaigns. Churches can do these in-house. I'm speaking at a large church in L.A. this weekend, doing the kickoff message for a 30-day campaign, and coming back and doing the third week. Churches can also just do all 4 weeks. So it's a combination of 4 weekend messages that unpack these powerful truths. These messages have been amazing, the spiritual impact on people. And then they get daily messages for the for the 30 days that support every weekend message and reinforce the truths of that weekend message right to their mobile devices and computers. Then there's also small group curriculum that churches have small groups meeting during this time as well, 12-week curriculum that supports this whole emphasis. We call this whole thing a product called The Focus, where we bring spiritual focus, and our first key focus product is called How God Grows People. And the response in our churches, people running to our book tables afterwards and buying multiple copies for friends, telling us their lives are being changed. And it's revolutionary when we take our eyes off of behaviors and we realize God's way is not this onerous, heavy task. Or God's way, Jesus said, come and learn of me. My yoke is easy. You know, it's gentle. We go God's way. It's an amazing thing. So we're very excited about what we're doing. We also have spiritual summits that allow church staffs, board retreats, whatever, to come together and assess themselves and see as a team any potential character traffic jams that they might have based on where they are in their spiritual profile. So we have a very rich website at www.spiritualprogress.com, and that's a quick overview of some of what we do.
Great. Just got about a minute and a half left. Let me ask you, you said something a minute ago, which I think is so key. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. We don't tend to do that in today's culture. So speak to our listeners on the importance of really doing an honest self-inventory and how that is so key to any personal growth.
You know, Socrates said it in ancient times, and those words have been revered by the secular world because they don't come from the Bible, frankly. But, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living. Now, for Christians, it's not optional. A man, Paul said, must examine himself. And it's not just for when we're sitting down to take communion. I believe that in fact, if you go to Revelations chapter 3, Jesus diagnosed seven churches. Talk about examination. You know, it's not like we're not accountable, right, Bill? Mm. We're going to face a living God, and we're fully accountable. But what an opportunity we have to judge ourselves, lest we be judged, as Paul says, to really assess ourselves and go, I don't want to be the last person to know in my crowd of friends or in my family about this character issue in my life. I would really rather examine myself and be right at the forefront of transparency and humility with the circles that I run with to say, hey, I'm a work in progress, and I know I have this issue, and thank you for loving me anyway. So these are critical. I think one other point is this, that we need to be a light to the world. When somebody comes up to your desk and says, how can you still love that person, forgive them for what they've done to you? You say, because I've done far more to God than this person's ever done to me, and I've learned his unconditional love, and his love has filled my heart to overflow. On it goes, faith, hope, and love.
Alan, thanks so much for your time today. Alan Ratta, the author of Making Spiritual Progress, Building Your Life with Faith, Hope, and Love. May God continue to use you and your ministry, your speaking and teaching, Alan. And thanks so much for this spending an hour with us on this Saturday.
Bill, it's been a pleasure being with you. God bless you, and I pray that the Lord will minister to your listeners.
Thank you, Alan. I'm Bill Meyer. This is the Faith Radio Network. That's it for today. You have a wonderful afternoon. My friend Austin Hill is next. And we wish you a great weekend.